somewhere just across the Jordan River is a place of everlasting joy and peace, where the streams of life is flowing there forever, and a crown of life is waiting there for me. And that sounds like home to me, like where I want to be. There'll be no tears to fill our eyes again. The hills will echo with the story as we sing of His grace and glory, where the saints of God will be. That sounds like home to me. They say there's mansions there inside that golden city, a crystal river flowing by the tree of life. No pain and disappointment there to hurt us, and Jesus Christ Himself will be the light. And that sounds like home to me, like where I want to be. There'll be no tears to fill our eyes again. The hills will echo with the story as we sing of His grace and glory, where the saints of God will be. That sounds like home to me. Where the saints of God will be. That sounds like home to me.
Amen. Thank you. Take your Bible, if you would, tonight, Leviticus chapter 19 this evening. Leviticus 19, good to see everyone out tonight in the middle of the week. Leviticus 19. If you have a few missing, be in prayer for them. The Caudills are up in Blue Springs tonight. Brother Tim's filling in for Brother Teeter this evening. The Hubbards are out of town, and we have some others who are traveling and gone, so hold them up in prayer. If you would, Leviticus 19 tonight. We're just going to go right to work. What do you say? Leviticus 19. Look, if you would, please, one verse this evening. We've been working on our series on developing a biblical worldview. We're going to wrap that up this month, and we'll start something new on Wednesday nights come January. But we do have another message or two related to this. And so tonight, we're going to be in Leviticus 19. We're going to jump down to verse 32, if you would. Leviticus 19 and verse 32. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head, before the white-haired person, in other words, the elderly. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head, the older person, and honor the face of the old man, and fear thy God, because he is the Lord. Amen. I am the Lord. I want to work on this thought tonight when it comes to a biblical worldview versus the view of the world. Here's our thought for tonight: youth, old age, and the Word of God. Youth, old age, and the Word of God. So let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Ask God's help tonight. I'll ask Brother Collins, why don't you lead us in prayer, if you would.
Dear Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity to be in your house. Thank you for the midweek service, Lord. I pray that you would be with Pastor Merrick as he brings forth the message, and that we be focused upon it, and that he would be lifted up with honor and praise. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. Ogres are traveling. That's who else is traveling tonight. Youth, old age, and the Word of God. Leviticus 19, verse 32, is a verse that probably seems in many ways, you know, to be irrelevant in the day and age in which we live, or at least dated in our culture, because we know tonight that we're a society or a culture that despises old age but worships youth. I mean, that's all there is to it. We despise old age. We're in an American culture. We do everything within our power to fight off old age. Isn't that true? We do everything we can to fight it off. We got creams and injections and surgeries. We got all this stuff we're trying to do to fight off old age, which is a course, a losing battle, as we know. And or at least we try to look like we're winning the battle with it. And it's not hard to understand why. If you'll think about where we've been and what we've talked about, it's not hard to understand why we're a culture that is so concerned or consumed with the concept of youth. And part of that is because of the basis of a post-Christian culture that we're in, which is humanism, which if you remember, the basis for that is atheism and evolution, which means there is no God, there's nothing after this life. Once you die, you're dead, that's all there is. Now, we know that's not true as Christians, but we're in a culture that embraces that. And if that's all you have to look forward to, then you're going to despise old age and despise the closer we creep to death, the more we're concerned about those things, because this life is all we've got. And if this is all you've got, then you're going to want to stay young as long as you possibly can. So there's that concern concerning humanism. Plus also, as we talked about in euthanasia a few weeks ago, we're a culture that is based on socialism now mainly, which is all about the collective. And as you get older, you don't have as much to contribute. And so you're not worth as much to society. And so there are all these issues come up about whether we should spend money on keeping you healthy or not. When it comes to the public coffer and so on. And all of this has to do with the view of life that the post-Christian culture in America has. And so we despise age, we hate age, and we worship youth. But it's not just in America. It's also true that in churches, we don't like the concept of old age. Say amen to that. I know that's true because I've been around church a long time, and I know what it's like trying to get people to fill out personal information sheets when they join the church about when they were born, when their anniversary is. And it's always funny when people turn in their birthday sheets, you know, so we know when their birthdays are, so we can send them cards and remind them that they're a year older now. We like to be a blessing that way. But it's always amazing how many people will fill in the month and the day, but won't put the year in when they turn it back in. And I'm assuming that must be an oversight on their behalf. And we've got a lot of oversight going on in churches. And I got news for you, can help you out a little bit. If you're already at the point where you're concerned about what year you were born, we already know you're not a spring chicken. Amen? So just fill it in, because you got might as well come to the grip to grasp reality, which we already have grasped for you, that you are getting older. All right? It's also amazing how when we do missionary questionnaires, or have you ever noticed on missionary prayer cards, a lot of times there won't be a year on there on the year that they were born. And I don't understand why it is that we as God's people are so concerned or consumed about this thing of how old we are. Oh, my word, I turned 30 this year. I'm turning 40 this year. I'm turning 50 this year. My life is over. I mean, I'm turning this age and somehow it's completely over now. We as God's people should not be ashamed of our age. That's the world's philosophy, and it's the world's way of thinking, that somehow I should be ashamed of something because I'm getting older, or I should feel bad because I'm getting older. Do you understand tonight that every year that you and I get older is another gift of the grace of God and of the providence of God? And if God's given you 30 years or 40 years or 50 years or 60 years or 70 years, then that's something that we should embrace as the gift of God and the gift of the providence of God. Hey, He's given you however many years you've got. That's the grace and the mercy of God. That's not to say that someone who dies in their 20s are not the recipient of the grace of God, but you certainly are in your 30s or 40s or 50s or 60s or 70s. Bible says if you stretch it out into your 80s, Merrick's and my family, we've got longevity. Both my grandparents, almost 100 when they died. That's the grace and the mercy of God. You know, that God allows us to have that time that He gives us. And so we shouldn't be ashamed of that. We should be proud of it, or not proud, but thankful for the fact that God in His grace has given me all of these years. Why is it that we as God's people are ashamed of those things? And the answer is just because we've adopted the world's philosophy toward these things. In a few weeks, I'll be 56, which means I'm not there yet, but I can see 60 from here. And so as a result of that, I can say this much, I'm not ashamed of that. I enjoy this phase of my life. One of the reasons why I enjoy it is because I'm not beyond making a mistake, but I've already either made or avoided most of the mistakes of youth. Now I'm trying to avoid the ones of older age, because 56 isn't old, amen? So I'm just trying to avoid the mistakes of older age. But I'm thankful that there's so much of my life that I'm past, and there's just a difference in your life as you get older. Now, there's some things about it I don't particularly enjoy as much. As you know, I can't do some things as well as I did when I was in my 20s. I can't do some things as well as I did when I'm in my 30s. That's all right. There's blessings that come with being in this phase of your life as well. And so we as God's people shouldn't be ashamed of our age or how old we're getting. It's the gift of the grace and the mercy of God. Hey, you're just 1 mile closer to home. Right. Amen. Amen. One more year closer to home. That's all you are. And at the very, what's the worst can happen? You leave here and end up at home. Amen. Because of the Lord. So we ought not be ashamed of those things. The Bible's very clear. Therefore, as a result of that, God's very clear that age is something that is to be honored. And we certainly see that in our text in verse 32 when it says, thou shalt rise up, in other words, thou shalt give honor unto the hoary head, the older person, and shall honor the face of the old man, the old woman, the old person, and fear thy God, I am the Lord. I'm not going to explore this part of it, but did you notice that God connects respect and honor for age with respect and honor for God? One of the reasons why is because we're in a culture that doesn't respect the older folks, they're not going to respect God as well. And I think we can certainly see that in our culture. If you don't respect the older man, you're not going to respect God. And I will remind you that God refers to himself many times in the Bible as the Ancient of Days. Now, that's not referring to his age because God has no age. He is the always present I am. God doesn't get old. He's always been. But it's the idea, he refers to himself in that sense, so that we understand that as we respect the older men, we're to respect God. There's respect and honor that's to come with age. And therefore, God refers to himself as the Ancient of Days, implying that we're supposed to honor and respect him as well. And so we're supposed to respect and honor age. Now, our culture, as we know, honors youth. But the Bible does not. Doesn't mean it disrespects youth, but it doesn't honor youth. It talks about the strength of youth. It talks about the advantages of youth. There's certainly one thing for sure. The Bible makes it very clear that if you're a young person tonight, now is the time to serve God. Serve God in the strength of your youth. But the Bible doesn't honor youth as it honors age. Now, when you think about our time in which we live, we honor youth rather than age. And that's the reason why, if you'll notice on the news, you'll see polls and surveys of high school students and of college students about what they think about what we should do in America to fix our problems. You know, we worry about how the high school students who can't even vote yet voted in their high school about who the next president should be. Or we worry about what college students think about what the answers and the needs of America are and what we should do and how we should handle world affairs and how we should handle all these things as if they are the ones who hold the answer. Let me remind you of this. Most of them don't own a car yet. At least not one they paid for themselves. They don't have a family of their own. They haven't raised children. They don't pay taxes. For 90% of their life, they've been taken care of by somebody else. Why would we turn to them for the answers about what we're supposed to do in America? Or why would we in a church movement turn to them about what we ought to do in church or spiritual things? That doesn't make them stupid. Now, if you're a young person, I'd say amen, right? That doesn't make them stupid. But what they do lack is experience that comes with age. An experience that comes with doing the things of life and loving life. It means that they've had very little real, lasting responsibility in life. And as a result of that, they're not really in a position yet to know what we should do about these things or how we should handle these things. These are topics that are a monumental task for older people, let alone for a younger person. But when was the last time you were watching the news or you were watching some YouTube channel or whatever it is you watch? When was the last time you were watching something like that and you seen a reporter when was the last time you saw one of these reporters review people only over the age of 60, let's say, or went into a retirement village? Let's find out what people who are in their 60s and 70s think about what we should do about our current problems and where we are. When's the last time you saw something like that? Well, you never see it. All we see is, what do high schoolers think we should do? What do college students think we should do? And again, I'm not slamming the intellect of high schoolers or college, and I'm not saying that what they think doesn't matter. What I am saying, though, is that if we're going to turn to someone with answers for our problems, and if we're going to honor somebody, it should be someone who has age, who has dealt with responsibility throughout their life, who has proven themselves. It doesn't mean that every old person is due honor. It doesn't mean that their life has been one that we can honor. But overall, the Bible says our default position should be to respect and honor those who are older. Nowhere in the Bible do you ever read, anywhere in the scriptures do you ever read, rise up before the young man because of his youth? Never do we read in the Bible, honor the young man because of the youth of his face. We don't read anything like that. We do, again, read admonitions to young people to use their time and their energy and their youth to serve God. Listen, if you're a young person tonight, man, now is the time to serve the Lord, because you're never going to have the energy that you have later on in life. You're never going to have the ability to do a lot of things that you can do now aren't going to be there later. So serve God in your youth. Don't waste your youth or the energy of your youth. But at the same time, the Bible doesn't talk about honoring youth or rising up before the youth or honoring the face of the youth. Nowhere in the Bible do we read this. Hear the words of the young man. Never we do hear that. We never hear, listen to the counsel of the young woman. We never hear that. Instead, what we hear is listen to age. Listen to those who are older. Listen to those who have these things. Look over in Exodus chapter 24, if you will. You all with me? Amen. Exodus 24. In Exodus chapter 24, we're going to do quite a bit of turning tonight. Exodus 24. When Moses went up on the mountain at the call of God to retrieve the commandments of God, who did he take with him? Well, we know Joshua went with him. But in Exodus 24, verse 9, it says this, and then went Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 what? Elders. Now, elder wasn't simply a position. You had to be an older man to be an elder. And so when Moses went up on the mountain to do the Ten Commandments, he didn't take 70 high school students with him. You know, he didn't take 70 college students with him. You know, he'd look around and say, hey, let's get the freshman class, take them with him. Oh, no, better, let's take seniors with us, because they'll surely have it all together. That's not what he did. The Bible says he took 70 elders with him. He took the older men with him to meet with God on the mountain. Now, once again, I'm not going to keep repeating this thought. Doesn't mean that young people are incapable of meeting with God. That's ignorant. But it does mean that when God wanted to see Moses up on the mountain, he said, bring the older men with you. From Exodus 24, look over in Exodus 3, if you will. In Exodus 3, we don't read passages like this concerning the younger man. In Exodus 3, verse 16, when you're younger, you can see better. Exodus 3, verse 16 says, go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham and of Isaac, hath appeared unto me, saying, I will surely visit you and seen that which is done unto you in Egypt. So when God told Moses, when you get to Egypt, here's what I want you to tell the people of Israel, but gather the elders together and tell them, so that they might be instructed, so they might be able to instruct the others. And we read the same type of thing in Exodus chapter 19. It wasn't the youth that were called in times when judgment was needed. It was the elders. In Deuteronomy 21, we won't turn there for the sake of time, but in Deuteronomy 21 is where we got some of the instructions about the cities of refuge. And it says that when a man fled into the city seeking refuge in one of those cities of refuge, he was to appear before the judges. And in Deuteronomy 21, it says, call the elders and the judges and let them hear his case. He didn't say call the teenagers so that they could hear the case about this possible murderer. He didn't say call the college students. He said call the elders and let them hear it, because we would hope elder would mean that they would have some wisdom and some ability to hear these things and deal with them that aren't present in youth. Now, again, one last time I'm going to say, this doesn't mean youth are ignorant. It doesn't mean they can't be intelligent. Matter of fact, you can be a young man, be more intelligent than an older man. But as we're going to see tonight, intelligence is not all there is to it. And it doesn't matter whether you're more intelligent or not. God says, honor age. That's what he says. As a matter of fact, the Bible indicates, look in the book of Lamentations, after Jeremiah, Lamentations chapter 5. When we think of the downfall of Israel, we think about their idolatry, we think about their refusal to listen to God, their rebellion, all that's true. But Lamentations chapter 5 includes something that we don't often think of that helped lead to the downfall of Israel. Lamentations 5, verse 1. It says, "Remember, O Lord, what has come upon us. Consider and behold our reproach. Our inheritance is turned to strangers, our houses to aliens. We are orphans and fatherless. Our mothers are as widows. We have drunken our water for money. Our wood is sold unto us. Our necks are under persecution. We labor and have no rest." And he goes on dealing with all their condition all the way down through verse 12. And notice what he says in verse 12 as he ends up their condition. He says, "Princes are hanged upon their hand, and the faces of elders," past tense, "were not honored." Seems to indicate that one of the problems in Israel that helped lead to their downfall was it came to the point where the nation no longer honored the elderly, no longer honored those who were older. Think about where we started out in our text in Leviticus 19:32, where he says, "Honor the hoary head and fear God." Remember what I said about the fear of God and the honor of age are connected. No culture that refuses to honor age will honor God. Just the way it is. And as a result of that, part of their failure to honor those who are older led to their downfall. And look in Lamentations 4, probably across the page or the next page over, look what it says in verse 16. "The anger of the Lord hath divided them. He will no longer regard them." And here's why. "They respect not the persons of the priests. They favor not" who? "The elders." And so he says, they no longer refuse to honor those who were older. Now again, elder is a position, but you also had to be older to hold that position. So it's not just a position, it's the elderly. And so it says God refused to bless them because they failed to honor those who are older. Y'all with me so far? Those of you who are older, can you hear me? All right, we need to listen up. So God's commandment is clear, and that is that we are to rise up before the older man. We are to rise up before the older person. We're to honor those. So that begs the question, who is an old man? Come on, you want to know if you qualify tonight? Who is an old woman? You want to know if you qualify tonight as an old woman or an old man? Well, it's hard to tell exactly what the Bible means when it refers to an older man or an older woman. Leviticus 27 gives the guidelines for what we might refer to as the tabernacle tax, in which they were to take money in to fix up their tabernacle. In Leviticus 27, verses 1 through 3, the tax is cut off at 60. So once you hit 60, you're no longer required to pay it. I'd be all for that. Amen, in our country. So once you hit 60, you no longer have to pay that. And in 1 Timothy 5, verse 9, Paul, when he was discussing with Timothy about who should be taken in as a widow for church care, and Paul, if you remember, says, don't take in a widow for church provision of care under the age of 60. And so if you want a hard number, 60 seems to be a hard number in which the Bible therefore declares you officially an old man or an old woman. But you know, tonight, the thing about it is, well, and in our text in Leviticus 19, verse 3, before he gets to the admonition about old age in verse 32, he talks about honoring parents. He talks about honoring other groups. Now, the thing about it is, I don't think tonight that we're supposed to be concerned necessarily about a specific age. That's kind of like Peter when he says, how many times do I have to forgive this guy who's offended me? Well, until 70 times 7. Well, I'm a young person, means I don't have to honor you because you're 59. You know, I don't have to honor you until you're 60. Well, that's kind of a bad attitude, don't you think, to have? That's kind of a wrong approach. It's not so much an age that's mentioned. I think that's why when God says, rise up before the hoary head, he didn't give us an age. Don't you think that if God had wanted us to have an age, he'd have gave us one? And so he doesn't give us an age because I don't think the age is what he's pointing to. The principle should be this for us as God's people. Now, I can't do anything about how the world deals with this, but we can think about it as God's people. And I think the principle should be this, that we ought to respect and honor those and hear those who are significantly older than we are. You say, well, what's significantly? Come on, you know what's significantly older than you are, whatever age you are. We have a pretty good idea. You can look at somebody and go, they're significantly older than I am. All right, you should know that. We can tell that, can't we? Now, if you're a freshman in high school, a senior's not significantly older, all right? But we should be able to look at someone, and we know when someone's significantly older than we are. And the principle should be that we should honor, listen to, people who are significantly older than we are. We shouldn't be like the world, where as a young person, you know, we think old people are in the way and they don't know anything. And we know more than they do. Well, that's the tendency of youth. No, that's the tendency of a sinful nature, to think that we know more though than those who are significantly older than we are. But the Bible's very clear that we're to honor them. And one of the ways we honor those who are significantly older than we are is to listen to what they have to say and to hear them. So here's the question. What is it about age that is such that God says that we ought to honor it, and that we ought to heed it, and we ought to listen to it? Well, let me give you some reasons why, as a younger person, we're supposed to honor those who are significantly older than we are. You know, and this never goes away. Right. You know, if you're 56 and somebody's 86, that's significantly older than I am. I could probably learn a few things from an 86-year-old. Amen. Number one, how'd you get to be 86? Amen. I could learn something from that. And it doesn't matter where you are in life, there's always going to be, well, I can't say no matter where you are. I guess when you get in your 90s, there's not too many people significantly older than you are. They're already in glory. But most of us here tonight, we know people who are significantly older than we are. And of course, obviously, this is going to be most true of younger people, teenagers, people in their 20s, especially their early 20s. There's going to be all kinds of people significantly older than we are. And so we need to understand what is it that they have to offer? Are you all listening? What is it that that person has to offer that God says I should honor that and listen and respect that? Let me give you a few things tonight. Probably number one, first of all, maybe the most obvious of all of these is that age is to be honored because of experience. Age is to be honored because of experience. And we've taught this before. I've taught this point, I think, in homeschool chapel last year or so, but age is to be honored because of experience. You know, a young person can be extremely intelligent, and we've got some very intelligent, very sharp young people in our church. And a young person can be very intelligent, even perhaps more intelligent than an older person. But the problem is that intelligence alone is no substitute for experience. Let me give you an example. If you had to have brain surgery, and I hope that doesn't happen to you, but if you had to have brain surgery, would you rather have a very intelligent brain surgeon or an extremely experienced brain surgeon? I don't care what his IQ is. If he's never done one before, I would rather have a guy who's done 300 of them. All right? Experience many times trumps intelligence. Now, if you can marry the two together, that's a great advantage. But if you've ever worked, listen, any of you who have been out in the world of work know that a brilliant man doesn't necessarily make a great boss. What makes a great leader? Someone who has experience. Now, experience alone doesn't make you a great leader, but experience is certainly greatly beneficial. I would rather deal with a man who's maybe a little less intelligent, but greatly experienced, than a man who's intelligent with no experience. And so experience is a great part. Certainly in life, that's true. It's a blessing if you get to work for somebody who has great experience, especially in the military and different places. It's great to deal with those kinds of people who know what they're talking about. We say, well, you know, they've been around the block. They've lived life. They've got some experience. And there's no place that should be more true than among God's people. And we ought to honor, as young people, we should honor age because of experience. And the fact that they're older. One of the best examples or best known examples of this is 1 Kings chapter 12. Turn over there if you will. 1 Kings chapter 12. Remember this story? You will when you read it if you don't recognize the text. 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 6. Remember old King Rehoboam? And King Rehoboam consulted with the who? Old men that stood before Solomon. Now think about that for just a second. These are the old men who counseled Solomon, who just happened to be the smartest man who ever lived. And so Rehoboam says, you know what, I need some advice about what to do. I got Israel who comes in and says, you're taxing me too heavy. You're putting too much work on this. If you'll just ease up a little bit, give us a tax break. you know, and cut back on the draft a little bit when it comes to building all this stuff a little bit, we'll serve you even more so than we served your father. Rehoboam said, I need to think about this. So he calls in the old men who served Solomon and were counsels to the smartest man who ever lived. And they say, the people are right. Do what they say. And then, of course, it says in verse 6, it says, and while he yet lived, how do you advise that I may answer this people? And they spake to him, saying, if thou wilt be a servant unto this people, if you'll serve them and wilt serve them and answer them and speak good words unto them, they'll be your servants forever. But he forsook the counsel of the old men, which had been given him, and consulted with who? The young men. Now, does this mean these young men were not very smart? I don't know about their intelligence. Their advice wasn't very smart. They may have been very intelligent, but Rehoboam famously forsook the counsel of the old men and took that which was the counsel of his friends. Now think about this. He bypassed the counsel of the old men for the counsel of people who were no older than he was. What great knowledge or experience did they possess that he didn't possess himself? Listen, don't take a lot of advice from people, especially in your youth, who are the same age you are. How much more experience do you think another 13-year-old has? How much experience do you think another 18-year-old has? How much experience do you think another 21-year-old has? That doesn't mean they can't give us some good godly counsel. It just means that whatever we hear from them, we've got to remember, this guy's the same age I am. And so experience counts for something. You know, we hear things such as this. Well, you know, youth brings a fresh perspective. No, it brings an experienced perspective is what it brings. A younger person should always be slow to speak and quick to hear when it comes to someone who is significantly older than they are. Job 32, flip over there if you will. Young person should always be slow to speak and quick to hear when they're around people who are significantly older than they are. Let me just so you don't misunderstand what I'm saying. When you're around people significantly older than you are, just shut up and listen. And don't correct them. You say, well, they're wrong. Well, even if they are, it's not your job to correct them. Just listen. Now, does that mean we follow a man to sin? No, that's ignorant. We don't follow a man to sin. Doesn't mean we accept false doctrine because somebody older than I am said it. It just means that it's not my job as a significantly younger person to fix it. You just go, and go on your way. It's not your job to deal with it or fix it. It's your job to listen. So when around older people, we should be quiet. Now this guy in Job 32 starts out well. Elihu does, and he does okay for a few minutes, but then he blows it. But that doesn't make his words any less important in verse 3. He says he's listened to all of this stuff go on with Job, and he hasn't said anything. And here's why in verse 7 of Job 32. I said, days should speak, and multitudes of years should teach what? Now, he messes his own rule up and blows it, but he's right about what he says. He says, youth should listen to years because of experience and because of the time that they've had. So experience is one of the primary reasons why we should listen to older age. How many times have you heard me say this from the pulpit? Experience is a great teacher, but it's also a very expensive teacher. And it is many times a very painful teacher. So if I can learn from your experience without the expense or the pain, why wouldn't I do that? If some older person can come along and say to me, don't do that because this is going to happen, I know because I experienced it and this is what it's cost me, why would I be a Rehoboam? Why would I not just say, man, I don't want to do that. I don't want to pay that price. I don't want to pay that cost. I don't want to go there. So a younger person should listen far more than they talk. Again, it's not our job to correct those who are significantly older than we are. Just listen. When I got in the ministry, or when I went to pastor my first church, Leon Gray was my pastor, told me, he said, this is related to preachers, and I found this to be good advice. I've been doing this a long time now, and I still do it. Now, he always said this. He says, whenever you're around a bunch of preachers, he says, listen more than you talk. And I found that to be true. Kept me out of a lot of trouble over the years. Helped me know who I should be around and who I shouldn't be around. Who I should fellowship with in the ministry and who I shouldn't. Who I should have preach and who I shouldn't. You don't always have to talk. And it's certainly true. And of course, he was giving that advice to me as a young preacher. Listen. Don't be running off at the mouth all the time. Don't be adding your 2 cents worth. Don't act like you've got all this experience you don't have. Just listen. And when you're around older people, as younger people, be quiet and listen because of experience. You might just learn something. Amen? If you get your pride out of the way and listen. Number two. Y'all still with me?
Amen.
Number two. Ages to be honored, first of all, because of experience. But then secondly, in a Christian context, because of trial. Because of trial. Look over in Psalm 37, if you will. Psalm 37. Ages to be honored because of experience, but then also because of trial. What I mean by that is this. A Christian young person should always honor age because age oftentimes represents great lessons learned and matured under trial. Now, does that mean a young person never experiences trial? Well, no. But somebody in their 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s have probably seen a whole lot more trial than you have by the time you're 13 or 14 or 16 or 20. And anybody who knows anything about the Christian life knows that one of the places we mature the most and gain the most knowledge is under what? Come on, under what? It's under trial. It's under testing, under trial. Now, if I've lived all of these years and experienced all the trials that come with those years, and I've been faithful through them and learned through them, man, what a great opportunity as a young person to learn. And one of the reasons age is to be honored is because of trial. In Psalm 37, in verse 1, David wrote this, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down as the grass." Verse 3, "Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself in the Lord also, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy ways unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." And he goes through all the things, all the way down through Psalm 37, that God will bless. And just trust God. Don't worry about what the world is doing. Don't worry about downtimes. Don't worry about trials. God will bless. And then get over to verse 23 for the sake of time. In Psalm 37, verse 23, it says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delighteth in his ways. And though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down. For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." Notice what he says in verse 25. He says, "Listen to me about these things." And here's why. "I have been young, and now I am what? Old." And he says, "Yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread." You know what he's saying? He says, "I have seen trials, I've seen problems, I've been in dark valleys, I've been through struggles, I've been through difficulties, I have been young, and now I am an old man." And I'm telling you, God is faithful, and he has always been faithful. That's the testimony of trial and of testing. And there's nothing more, one of the most beneficial things is to listen to an older person who's been saved. And in this context, you don't have to necessarily be old of age, but old in years as far as your Christian faith. There's nothing, there's what a great opportunity to learn from someone who's been saved for 40 years. Oh, come on. What a blessing to be, to listen to somebody who's probably been saved maybe 3 times longer and you've been alive. And says, "God is faithful. I've never seen him forsake his people. I've never seen his seed begging for bread. I've never seen him forsake his child." And that's the benefit and the testimony of trial. If you're a young Christian and not a young person, listen, you should honor the older person who's been saved for some time because of the insight that comes from suffering and the insight that comes from trial and struggle and difficulty. They've been there. They've experienced it. They've gone through it. And they've remained faithful. Now, we're not talking about somebody who blows it every time they get into a trial. But someone who maybe has been saved longer than I've been alive has gained a lot of wisdom in the school of trial. And that's not something you can just learn in Sunday school. We can learn about how faithful God is. We can learn the academic side of it. But that's different than experiencing it. And who is a young person to act as if we know everything over an older person when we've experienced very little trial in our life? Now, I understand that sometimes as young people we experience some difficult times and loss. I understand that. But that's not the accumulative effect of years of trial and difficulty and struggle. So we ought to respect age, listen to those who are older because of experience. Secondly, because of trial. You all still with me? Thirdly, well, Brother Collins is. Thirdly, age is to be honored because of experience and trial. But then also, thirdly, because of time with the Lord. This ought to be a no-brainer, because of time with the Lord. Proverbs 16. Would you agree tonight that time with the Lord is different than time on the job?
Yes.
You can go to work, learn a job pretty quick. Learn about God's a lifetime. And the more time we have on the job learning about Him, well, that's worthy of honor. So it should be honored because of experience and in trial, but then also because of time with the Lord. In Proverbs 16, verse 31, the hoary head is a crown of glory if, what? It be found in the way of righteousness. If it has been a lifetime of faithfulness to God. Amen. He says there's great wisdom. Now, I'm never to disrespect somebody older than I am. But honor truly belongs to the child of God who's been walking with God for many, many years. You know, if you're a younger person here tonight, it's not unusual to find somebody who's been walking with the Lord again twice the time you've been alive. And that's something to be honored. You learn a lot. Listen, you learn a lot about the Lord when you've been walking with Him for 20 years, for 30 years, for 40 years, for 50 years. You learn things about Him that you don't understand in your youth. There's a confidence, an assurance, which led the psalmist to say, I've been young and now I'm old. And I can tell you this much, I've never seen his seed begging for bread. That's a confidence that comes with age and comes with walking with the Lord. And so a younger person should take advantage of that opportunity to hear and take advice from someone who has 30 or 40 years more experience with the Lord than they do. If you're saved tonight, then you know what this is like. You should know more about Him than you did 2 years ago. And just think, by the time you've known Him for 30 years or 40 years and you've walked with Him, all the church services you've sat in, all the things you've seen God do, all the times He's spoken to your heart, the confidence that comes with us. A 20-year-old Christian young person should honor and listen to someone who's been faithfully walking with the Lord 25 years before they were born. There's great experience that comes with that. We should honor that. Does that always mean they're right? No, but it's not your job to correct them when they're not. But it does mean this. They're probably going to be right a whole lot more than they're going to be wrong. And they're probably going to be a whole lot more right about life than I'm going to be at this phase of my life. You say, well, that just means I got to honor everybody. Your time's coming. You're just not there yet. So we ought to honor the person who's been saved for a long time because that experience that comes with walking with the Lord. How does a high school student not respect or take advantage of the cumulative effect of 40 years of Bible reading, of 40 years of sitting in church, of 40 years of hearing sermons, of 40 years of seeing God work and move in their life, of 40 years of being around God? How does a high school student or a young person not take advantage of that type of relationship that God has? How do you measure the cumulative effect of 40 years of walking with the Lord when they've done it in righteousness, as the Bible says? And that's to be honored. Not just in spiritual areas, but in all areas of life. You know, if someone who's been saved three times longer and you've been on the earth, and they come to you and say, hey, this decision's not a good one, a wise person probably ought to back up and say, maybe they're wrong, but I tell you one thing, I better find out. I better look. This relationship is not good. This situation's not good. We ought to listen to that. We shouldn't take the opinion of, well, I'm young and know everything. You don't understand. No, they've probably never been there in the whole 60 years of serving God. They've probably never experienced anything like that. We ought to listen to those things and heed them. Again, we know tonight that sometimes God leads us to do strange things that seem strange from the world sense or from human perspective. And I understand that older people can't always be right, that they're not perfect. But I do know this much. When someone with vast experience and a lot of time with serving God says, this is not wise, a young person would be smart if they honored that and listened. Amen? Or no matter what age you are, if they're significantly older than you are or significantly older and walking with the Lord. Fourthly, Book of Philemon. Chapter 1, Philemon. Got to look close, right before Hebrews. Age should be honored because of experience. It ought to be experienced, honored because of trial. It should be honored because of time with the Lord. And then fourthly, I think old age ought to be honored because of time and service. Time and service. We honor everybody for time and service, don't we? If you've been on the job for 20 years, you honor for that. You've been in the military all those years, you get honored for that. We honor time and service. I think we honor time and service when it comes to things of the Lord, too. In Philemon chapter 1, verse 8, since there's only one chapter, verse 8, Paul says this, wherefore, though I might be bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, he's wanting Philemon to take Onesimus back, and he says, you know what, I could tell you to do it. It's my position to do so. Yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul, the what? The aged and the prisoner. Paul's on the tail end of his life now, and he appeals to Philemon on the sense of his time and service and his time in serving God. He says, I would like to just appeal to you based on that. Trust me on this, Philemon. I've been serving God a long time. And I think we should honor people with time and service. What do you substitute? Listen, what do you substitute? Or what is intellect alone? When is intellect alone a substitute for years of serving God faithfully in the local church? Teaching Sunday school and working in the church and dealing with people. You know, the lessons and the challenges that come with faithful service. And as much as anything, the character, listen, as much as anything, the character that it takes to be faithful to the local church over a period of years. That's something you can learn from. That's something that we can certainly take advantage of. I heard a man talking one time who was in his 70s. I shared this with the church once before. I won't tell you who it was, but he was well into his 70s, and he's probably home with the Lord now because it's been years ago. But he was in his 70s. He'd been a member of the same church his entire life. Had never been anywhere else. A member of the same church. And somebody asked him, said, well, how did you pull that off? I mean, were there never any problems? He goes, oh, there were problems. He said, but I just decided I was going to be faithful. There's something to be learned from a guy who can stick it out in the same church for 70 years. That's a long time. That's a lot of serving God and a lot of faithfulness. And so there's no substitute to that, the lessons and the challenges that come with serving God. And people who are faithful over the long haul and over the long period of time, we can learn from somebody who's been serving God in the church for years. That's, to me, more impressive than someone who's been in the military for 30 years or somebody who's been on the job in the secular world for 30 years. Somebody who's made faithful and served God in the local church for all those years. They didn't get mad and run off. They didn't get bent out of whack. Somebody didn't hurt their feelings, so they just quit, now refuse to serve God at all. That's not a something we should enjoin. That's something we should not look to respect. Somebody who can say, you know what, I've been hurt. I've been doing this a while. I've been in church since I was 9. You do the math. It's been a while. And it's certainly not because no one's ever hurt my feelings. You know, Pastor, nobody ever hurt your feelings. So it's never been that. It's not because no one's ever disappointed me. It's not because I've never invested time in somebody and then they turned away. It's not because you're always respected and everybody always shakes your hand and everybody always loves you. It's not because of any of that. You do it because of the Lord. Amen. And someone who can do that for 30 years or 40 years, that's owing of respect. Amen. And honor. There's many times, especially when I was younger, I'd call preachers who had been serving God in church for many more years than I have been and said, hey, what do you think I'd do about this? I'm starting to feel my age, though, because now I'm the guy they're calling. I don't know when that happened. I woke up one day and people are calling me now. I thought, whoa, wait a minute. I'm supposed to be calling people. I'm too young for people to be calling me about this kind of stuff. But we ought to respect time and service. And listen, if you're a young person here tonight, there are people in our church been serving God for many, many years. You ought to listen to what they got to say. You ought to listen to their advice. You should listen when they say, young person, listen. Because they have something to offer. They've got so many more years serving God in the local church than you do. And if God gives you a long life, I hope that one day you'll be that guy or that woman. But we ought to listen. Fifthly, A should be honored because of experience, trial, time with the Lord, time in service. And then fifthly, because of experience with sin and its dangers. Amen. Because of experience with sin and its dangers. We're almost finished. Look in Proverbs 7, if you will. Proverbs 7. Now, you don't necessarily want to honor someone who has experience with sin, extensive experience with sin. Well, I should listen to that guy. He's got a lot of experience with sin. But you understand the context in which I mean it. Listen, if you've been serving God for 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, it's not because you've never faced a temptation. It's not because you've never faced the opportunity to sin. It represents a life in which we have been perfect and we have sinned from time to time, but we've never allowed sin to destroy our life, and you've never allowed sin to ruin your testimony. It's something to serve God for 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, and never have your testimony destroyed because of sin. They know something about the dangers of it. Proverbs 7 says this, Proverbs 7, verse 7. Remember this passage? I beheld among the simple ones, and I discerned among the old men. Is that what it says? So I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner. And of course, if you know the passage, he goes on and destroys himself because of sin. And this is Solomon, the older man, saying, I saw him. And he said, I saw what was coming, and I knew from experience what this was going to lead to. That's why as a young person, when someone comes along and says, you're going the wrong direction, this relationship is not good for you, this direction is not good for you, what you're doing is not good for you, instead of getting all puffed up and saying, well, I know what's best, we ought to back up and say, you know what, this person's been saved for a long time, got a lot of time in service, a lot of time serving the Lord. They probably know something about temptation, don't you think? They probably know something about the dangers of sin. And if they see something and tell me that it's dangerous, maybe I ought to consider that it might be dangerous. And back up and listen, because they've had some experience with those things. People who are older than we are have been there and done that. They've experienced. Some of them have experienced it and paid the price for it. Some others have seen. You know, when you've been saved for 40 years, you've seen a lot of people come and go. You've seen a lot of people, the victims of sin. You've seen a lot of church members who are now used to be. You've seen a lot of people ruin their life, and a lot of young people grow up in church and go out and destroy their testimony. And so there's some experience there to be able to say, listen, you're going the wrong way. And if someone who's significantly older than you tells you that you're going the wrong direction, you should back up and take heed of that and say, listen, you know what? Maybe I better reexamine this. Maybe I better think about this. After all, I got a lot of experience that I don't have. Sixthly, this one and one more. Sixthly, got to have seven to make it perfect. Amen, one more. Sixthly, age is to be honored because of grace. We won't turn there for the sake of time because you know the passage, 2 Corinthians 12:9. Paul said, I besought the Lord to remove this thing. And he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. You know how much grace someone who's been saved for 30 years, 40 years has experienced in their life? How much of the grace of God and the mercy of God? How much of his grace they've seen in their lifetime? I think that's something to be worthy of honor. How much grace or the grace of God does a person experience over 40 years of walking with God? Now to be heeded because what a young person knows of the grace of God, they certainly learn from being saved, and a lot of it they've learned from salvation, but it's not the same thing as 40 years of experiencing the grace of God in your life. How many times God in his grace has moved, and how many times God in his grace has comforted me, and how many times God in his grace has stepped in and delivered me, how many times God in his grace has answered prayer. Those are all things that are valuable to be listened to. You experience a lot of the grace of God over the long haul. And then lastly, age is to be honored. You want to write this one down? Age is to be honored because God said so. God said so. Which takes us back to our text, Leviticus 19:32. God said, rise up before the hoary head. He says, God says that we're to honor them. Now, I'm not saying that younger people should necessarily. He says in Leviticus 19:32, he says, let the younger rise up before the hoary head. And I'm not necessarily saying tonight that young people should stand up every time somebody older comes in the room. Now that I'm getting older, that'd be pretty cool. Amen. But that's not what the Bible's saying. That's not the principle that we're supposed to take away from it here. But I think we are supposed to take up, don't you think, that we should show deference to age. We should show honor to age. We should show honor to experience, to those who have dealt with far more trial than we've gone through, those who have far more time in service with God than we do, those who have far more time serving God in the local church than we do, those who have experienced so much of the grace of God in their life, those who have seen so much come and go in the way of sin. It says we should honor those people in our life, and we should show deference to them, and we should honor them. In Job 32, look back over there if you will. Again, we're almost finished here. Job 32. If you're a young person here tonight, or if you're an older person dealing with somebody significantly older than you, but especially if you're a young person tonight, whenever around those who fit the bill of older people who have proven themselves, then we ought to listen more than we talk and never correct them. Remember this passage we were at before, Exodus 32, verse 6, and Elihu, the son of Barachah of the Buzite, answered and said, I am young and ye are very old. Wherefore I was afraid and durst not show mine opinion. And I said, they should speak and a multitude of years should teach. Notice what he said just before that. He said, you're so much older than I am. He said, I didn't feel it was appropriate for me to express my opinion. Now again, young people should never follow anybody to sin because they're older. Say amen to that. Amen. It's not what we're saying. But he does say, you know what? Maybe I should be careful about my opinion in the presence of people who have far more experience than I do, have far more time in trial than I do, who have experienced far more of the grace of God than I do, have, who have experienced far more with sin than I have. Maybe I should be careful about just expressing my opinion. As a 13-year-old or a 15-year-old or an 18-year-old or maybe even a 20-year-old, you know, what's my opinion in face of so many years of experience? Doesn't make it unimportant, but in context it means it should always bow to age and experience and all those things that we've talked about. It might just be that we would learn something. Amen? Might just be we might learn from these things. Never, Isaiah 3, quickly, Isaiah 3, so we can finish. What keeps youth from honoring old age more often than not? I can help you out with that. It's called pride. Pride. It's pride in a young person that continually corrects people who are older than they are, who talks over them, who doesn't listen. We should never let the pride of youth keep us from honoring age. Isaiah 3, verse 4, I will give children to be their princes. He's talking about what God's going to do to Israel. He says, I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. Hold on just a minute. This might be the judgment of God on America, you reckon? I will give children to be their princes, and babes to rule over them, and the people shall be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor, and the child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient. He says, this is the judgment of God when a generation of young people rise up and behave themselves proudly against those who are older. Listen, the only thing that keeps a young person from, or even someone who's older, from honoring someone significantly older than them is pride. That's all it is. Humble yourself, put your pride away, and recognize the fact that this person has more experience than you do. They've been through far more trials than you have. They've served God far longer than you have. They've experienced far more of the grace of God than you have. They've done all of the stuff that you have not yet done. Humble yourself and say, there's something I can learn here. I can learn from these things. I should probably be quiet, keep my opinion to myself, and just listen to what they have to say. In Proverbs 27, preached a whole message on this verse one time, Proverbs 27. We should listen to those who are older than us. Expose ourselves to that experience. Remember Proverbs 27. Instead of just, if you're a young person tonight, instead of just always hanging out with young people, hang out occasionally at church with some of the older people. In Proverbs 27, one of my favorite verses when it comes to younger folks, Proverbs 27, notice what it says in verse 10. Thine own friend and thy father's friend, what? Forsake not. Find out, if you have a godly father, find out who his friends are. And make friends of them. Now, that doesn't mean invite them over. Okay, they're not going to want to hang out with you. All right. But we are to make friends of them. Listen, if my dad thinks they're wise spiritually and he listens to their advice, why should I not do that? Hang out with people around the church that are older than you. Don't always hang out with the teenagers. Work yourself in and just listen. Now, they don't care what you got to say. So, you know, so don't butt in a whole bunch of circle of men. Start voicing your opinion. Keep that to yourself, all right? But listen. Get among them and listen. And listen to some of the of what they have to say and hear. Make friends of them. So you don't have to necessarily rise up, you know, as a young person. But we should listen. You ought to stand up when you're talking to an older person. Don't sit there while they're talking. You stand up. Well, look them in the eye. I think you ought to call them sir and man. You don't say yeah to somebody significant older than you. You don't call them by their first name. Call them brother whatever or sir or man. That's deference. It's honor. Don't run over them in the food line at the fellowship. I joke about that. We don't have anybody running over it. But you ought to know who ought to be nearer the front and closer to the back when we have fellowships in the food line. Shouldn't be the young people flooding the front of the thing. That's honor and deference. If anybody is not going to starve to death, it's going to be you. All right? All right? And the older people don't eat much anyway. Amen? So there'll be plenty left by the time you get to the food line. But those are just small ways we show honor, but we ought to listen. Listen, let's not adopt, and I'm done, let's not adopt the philosophy of the world that age is something to be ashamed of and young people know everything. Because that's not the position of the Bible at all. We have some great young people. We have some very sharp young people. If Lord tarries, we young people, I have no doubt God's going to use their life in their time. But in the meantime, honor those who are older and listen. And whether you're a teenager or you're a 40-year-old, if there are people who are significantly older than you and they've proven themselves, man, listen to that advice and listen to what they have to say, because experience and trial and time with the Lord and the grace of God, all those things are amazing instructors. And there's so much wisdom there that it makes absolutely no sense whatsoever to destroy our life. If you're an older person tonight, it's your duty to live worthy of respect. It's your duty to remain faithful. It's your duty to give sound biblical advice. Just because you're older doesn't mean you just get to hand out advice. It needs to be biblical advice. And if you're older, we need to live worthy of those things. But it should be honored. Amen? Old age is nothing to be fearful of. It's nothing to be ashamed of. But it does mean this. If you're here tonight not saved, boy, the older you get, the more needful you are being saved, because you are running out of time. And truth is, we know this, that death is no respecter of persons. If you're tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I don't care if you're 5 or if you're 95, you need to be saved. Because sooner or later, you're going to leave this life and move on to the next. If you're tonight, we'd love to take a Bible and show you how you know Christ as your Savior. But if you're here tonight and you're a young person, maybe you need to come and kneel down at an old-fashioned altar. And once you do this, thank God for the older people in your life who are an influence on you. Thank God for your Sunday school teacher or your parents or those who are older in your life, that are there for you, that have advice, that are encouragement. Why don't you come tonight and pray and say, God, help me keep my pride in check. Help me honor those who are older. Help me learn to just be quiet and listen to those things. Maybe if you're older tonight, you need to come and thank, you know, there are guys in my life that I could get on my knees right now and thank God for the influence they had on my life. We ought to be thankful for those things and honor those who are older. Amen. Maybe as you get older, those of us who are older, let's pray that God help us to continue to live a life in which we will be faithful to the Lord. I don't want to blow it my old age. Amen. I don't want to destroy my testimony in my old age. I don't want to be the old prophet out of Kings. I want to keep serving Him. Amen. Why don't you stand with me if you would?